Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And joining us right now is Ron Hosko, former assistant director to the FBI. He was part of the Criminal Investigative Division and currently the president of Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. Man has spent some 25 years at the FBI. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
Well, you were there, I guess, in 1988. You started your career, and you rose all the way to be the number two at the department at the FBI. You know how the place works. You probably still have a lot of contacts within the Bureau. How is this going over, this firing of Jim Comey?
Not particularly well. You know, there's been some very prominent reporting about great strife within the FBI, and my understanding is from a number of friends who I have in the building is that the director enjoyed tremendous respect and appreciation and admiration from the workforce. He was a very active director, as you know. He was in Los Angeles when this occurred, and he, I think, really likes the engagement. He loves the job. Will go out and make speeches. Perhaps you've been in one of these venues, and he'll tell you how many days he has left in the FBI as though he cherishes every future day.
Yeah, so was it about the way he was fired, the fact that, you know, he didn't, he was out in L.A. and nobody gave him a call or a heads up, or was it really the fact that the people in the building felt like he should not have been fired?
I think it's there are strong elements of both. Okay. First, with respect to the manner in which he was fired, it was shocking. I was actually with a number of FBI friends the other night, the night that it occurred, and they were all taken by surprise, as was the director, as you've already reported. To me, the manner in which this was carried out was completely disrespectful. It was disgraceful. This is a public servant, someone who came back from private industry to what he believed to be the pinnacle of his public service career. He was a serious, dedicated public servant, a patriot. Nobody under these circumstances should go out like that.
But the deputy attorney general wrote a pretty scathing memo about his behavior and how he circumvented the standard, you know, way things are done at the Department of Justice. That was a pretty damning document.
You know, it was, and you know, I think reasonable, fair-minded people can agree that there were occasions last year when the director, went outside the typical boundaries. But, you know, I think there are a lot of folks, too, who don't view those incidents in isolation, you know, in a vacuum. And quite clearly what he did last July 5th was in response to the horrific failure of judgment by Loretta Lynch. And there's a reason for it. This wasn't Jim Comey just saying, hey, I'm in charge now. I'm going to make, you know, charging decisions and make public pronouncements. Jim Comey was, I think, his driving concern in July was the loss of public confidence in the FBI's independence and their ability to do the Clinton investigation thoroughly. And I think those were the driving forces, not so much to put Jim Comey in the middle of the spotlight on the case, but ultimately, you know, as we saw over time, it ended up having that effect that, you know, suddenly Jim Comey was in the spotlight. He went over and testified on Capitol Hill for 3 to 4 hours on a then closed investigation. And, you know, certainly there were sins by DOJ, too. The attorney general or Sally Yates could have called Jim Comey on the carpet immediately thereafter and said, hey, look, don't ever do this again. We make charging decisions, not you. If you start to go this route again, we will fire you. We'll recommend that to the president. And of course, none of that happened either. So but that being said, quite clearly, you know, what Jim Comey did last July the 5th went well outside of the boundaries of what FBI executives would do in a case where you're not announcing an indictment.
Well, and I want to talk about that, because that moment he lost support of the Republicans because he laid out a case against Hillary Clinton and then said, yeah, we have this case, but she didn't mean to do it. So, you know, we're going to let her go, when Republicans are saying, look, that has nothing to do with the law. The law doesn't say anything about intent. So he lost Republican support, and then he lost Democrat support when Democrats felt that he inserted himself into the election by bringing it all back just before the election date in November, and he reopened it again. So he didn't have a lot of friends, and I don't know how effectively he can lead the FBI when he's got both sides against him.
Well, look, you know, if we look at this through the lens of politics, if the director is doing his job well, he's not going to have a lot of friends, Democrat or Republican. You know, there was a senator, a Republican senator, who said last week after the Oversight Committee hearing, when he was asked about his own trust and confidence and support for the director, he viewed Jim Comey as essentially an equal opportunity offender, that he offends people on the right and on the left, and therefore I think he's probably doing the right thing. That was his summation. That's the truth. And, you know, the reality is, I was assistant director in criminal. We had tens of thousands of cases, and many of the most sensitive cases were on senior, high-level elected officials, some with a D behind their name, others with an R. And to us inside, it was completely irrelevant what that letter was. We had information indicating violations of law. We had an obligation to ferret that out, and we were going to go do that. And certainly, and you may have seen the Governor McDonald piece on 60 Minutes a few weeks ago, you're going to offend people. You're going to make people mad. You know, Bob McDonald was the darling of the Republican Party, and we had information indicating corruption, and we pursued it. We did not make friends in, you know, among the Republican Party for what we did, but it was the right thing to do.
Can I get in with one more question, because our time is running down? Listen, here's the bottom line. A lot of Democrats are saying, look, the reason that Comey was fired is because he was getting close on this whole Russian investigation. And I, having been around this town, and I know you were on the inside, you know this, the firing of the FBI director would not stop an investigation in its tracks, would it? It would continue
to go
on, perhaps even more vociferously than it was before.
Yeah, as you know, and we heard strains of this during the Clinton investigation, the FBI, once they have predication, and certainly on targets of this magnitude, potential subjects of this magnitude, where there is predicated information to move forward, they're going to do that with all deliberate speed. The director is not an investigator. He's not the chief investigator. He's the organization's CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, yesterday, the day before, the FBI is moving forward on every investigation, whether it's a terror threat or a massive white-collar fraud or a child exploitation case. The director's removal doesn't change any of that. And as you suggest, it may anger some of those agents, and they may want to be working harder and faster, assuming they have the resources. The key question, and what I think we all have to be watching for, is do they have the prosecutive support? Because if we hear hints that that has been pulled back, or that the prosecutors are trying to slow roll the investigation, not give grand jury subpoenas, or if a grand jury is needed in panel one, call witnesses, get paper, legal papers downrange quickly, then I think we have serious questions to ask about what's going on.
And then I have to ask this question. Do you have confidence in Rosenstein?
You know, Rod Rosenstein is a seasoned, capable, experienced prosecutor who's had years of experience with the FBI and other federal agencies. So in isolation, Rod Rosenstein is I think, will be a very capable deputy attorney general. He knows right from wrong. And so I can't see Rod Rosenstein trying to pull the rug out from under this investigation.
I can't either.
And,
yeah.
And I think he knows full well that were he or somebody under him to try to do that,
right,
there would be a mutiny within the FBI.
We got to leave it right there. We're way over. But thank you, Ron Hosko, former assistant director to the FBI. Your appearance here this morning is greatly appreciated.
Happy to talk to you.
Thank you.